From Acts chapter 1. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This is what you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So why did Jesus go back up to heaven? I mean, after the resurrection, why didn't he just stay here? At least another generation, so more people could have seen him firsthand, so that the church would have had more firsthand witnesses to the resurrection? I've been thinking about that question, and I'm wondering if it's one of those questions you understand better if you look at it in reverse. You know the Kierkegaard quote, life is lived forward, but understood backwards. I think backwards might be the way to understand the story of the ascension. After the ascension, the people who had been gathered and in hiding, contemplating both the crucifixion and the stories of the resurrection, they were not going on with their journey. When Jesus was still walking the earth, people just wanted to look to him. I can't blame them. I would have wanted to sit at his feet to listen to what he had to say, to see one more thing, to hear one more thing about the kingdom of God. If the disciples were moving at all, they were going back to life the way they'd known it before Jesus. They were fishing. They'd heard the story, but they were still paralyzed in their experience. The movement did not start until Jesus ascended and sent the Holy Spirit to get the people going into the role of being witnesses. When he ascends and they are all gazing off into the clouds, they're invited to stop looking up. And what that does is make space for them to look around and see what it would mean for them to follow Jesus, to be his witnesses at home and as far away as they could imagine going. The church began when Jesus made space for it, by not just being in one place, but being in all places through the Holy Spirit. Peter became a preacher, telling the story, bearing witness to the people. The disciples no longer stayed at home, 12 students of the teacher. They multiplied to be 12 teachers with students, and soon the growth of the movement was exponential. The followers of Jesus could point to Jesus, not just over there. They could see him with the body of Christ all over the world. Jesus didn't leave his people when he ascended any more than Jesus leaves us. The world is forever changed by the fact that he lived and walked among us. He died in love of us, and he rose, and he showed us that death does not win. He left not to abandon people so that he could be in a better place, but to help us understand the unbounded love he gives us in this place, to teach his followers to witness to the ends of the earth because they are empowered to lead the way. What we need to be doing is looking around for a chance to witness to how the Spirit of Jesus that he gave us is moving in this world, to point out the way of repentance and forgiveness that provides testimony to Jesus today. So of all the names I never expected to say from the pulpit, Howard Stern has to be high on the list. He's a shock radio jock, if you don't know. But this week, I read about an interaction between him and Kathy Lee Gifford. Apparently, for 30 years, he had been carrying on a One Direction feud against her. She never knew anything that she'd done, but he hated her. He hated her family. He hated everything about who she was. And he talked about it all the time. She said one day she was in her studio for her show, and someone said he's downstairs filming a commercial for a show that he's doing, America's Got Talent. And she said, I felt the Lord saying very clearly to me, go and say hello to Howard. So she went to him. He's 6'6", and she's 5'5", and she just looked up at him and said, hi, I'm Kathy Lee. I thought it was time to say hello, and I just want you to know I wish you the very best with your show. And then she turned and walked away. He called her. He said, I was blown away. I'm going to ask you to forgive me. I recognize that I need to do some hard work on my life, and I'm trying. And I know that I hurt you, and I'm so sorry. And I wonder if you would forgive me. And she said, well, first of all, I'm glad you're doing the hard work on your life. That's great. But you need to know I forgave you 30 years ago. And I've prayed for you every day since. That's bringing an amazing witness to the power of the Spirit. Jesus with us. What's your story? What do you see that helps you know the Spirit is moving in the world? That the body of Christ has the love of Christ dwelling in it. This week, radical beauty photography began to show up in the back room. It's something that we've been doing to try to reach out to the community, to find a way to be connected with people who maybe aren't connected with us yet. And as the pictures came in, they were such a ministry and an eye-opening thing to me, to see how framing something and calling it radical beauty opened up creation and hearts and minds and spirits. On this day, in which we consider and celebrate and honor and cry over what it means to be a mother and what it means to have a mother, I hope we can consider the witness of love we have the ability to give and receive for all of the children, no matter what age. As James Baldwin once said, for these are all our children. We will all profit by or pay for what they become. How is the Spirit moving in our world today, showing us where Jesus wants us to walk? We can stay looking at the sky, Or we can be grateful that Jesus made space for us to be part of the story. We can look at what is around us, in front of us, behind us, to find places that we can witness to God's amazing grace breaking into the world. And then we can stand up and show and tell the good news that is ours to share. We can be church the way Jesus made space for us to be. In his name, amen.